so when I was younger, I was sexually assaulted by someone, and when I told the police, they said to me that would you rather not just leave it, because it would just it might be a bit too much for you, and he was one of your friends, like, do you just want to leave it, because it will cost you a lot of money as well. And I was 18, and I was like 17, and yeah. I was just like
Oh yeah,
do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.
Welcome back to Two Night Stand.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Bella.
I'm Jake.
And we are ending season two.
We are. Sad times.
It's been great.
It has.
Who have we had on?
Johnny, Lori, Jenny. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a few guests on. Yeah.
A few guests.
I really loved this season. It was more chilled out. We just had some really like general chats, and it's been good.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time. And yeah, like we just thought, like, well, I've got really busy. You've started a new job, and yep. We just need a bit of time just to recoup and come back and be fresh as ever.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously a lot of work goes into it, you know, on and behind the scenes, and it's I mean, I'm definitely gonna miss it, as I said, like, because we're so busy. It's the one time me and Bella actually sit down and actually talk to each other most of the time, but
it's okay. We can do something else with our time.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, I mean to end the season,
yeah,
I think what I wanted to do was just talk about like the huge thing that's been all over social media always, especially after the Barbie movie coming out, was this idea of feminism ruining relationships and stopping women from being in a nuclear family unit.
Yeah.
So I thought we should have a chat about it today.
100%.
And actually get your thoughts as a man and kind of just expand on it and stuff, which would be fun.
Yeah, so I mean, the Barbie movie, because obviously you went to go and see it on your own, and it wasn't really, maybe I will go and see it now, actually, after what you've told me, because I just thought it was just going to be a fun, loving family film where it was just going to be cracking jokes and stuff, but
don't get me wrong, it is funny.
Yeah.
So Jake always used to make this joke about looking like Ryan Gosling. Like, he'd start, I look so much like him, and then literally the whole time, I just saw Ryan Gosling as Jake. So I was physically like, look like Ryan Gosling.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
I don't know. I think it's the
comments
the long
I'm
head.
Get now, yeah. The long head. Yeah,
it's
the
long head.
And you made it very specifically clear that I do not have the body of Ryan Gosling. That was it. If there was a slight compliment, it's like, do you know what? You do look a bit like him, but you don't have the body.
No, I think it's just the blue eyes, like the perfect hairline and the long face.
Nice.
That's literally Ryan Gosling. Exactly. Like, but you know, he is a heartthrob icon. You just missed that mark.
Yeah, just the dimensions are just a bit off.
Yeah. Like Ryan Gosling in AI. It's Jake. But yeah, so obviously it ended up being quite a strong message for like young girls, which
You showed me the monologue, actually. You managed to show me that. People were getting pirate copies on TikTok already, which is mad. But so yeah, I do know what you're referencing to. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just like, it kind of, obviously it resonated with me. It's resonated with quite a lot of people, women in particular and young girls. And I thought it was a great message to kind of get across. However, I want to talk more about the extreme feminism that obviously it seems like a bit of a war at the moment, especially on social media. And it has done for the last sort of 3 years or so. It's just been like an uproar of like, you know, you've got one side of things where there are feminist protests, and then you've got the other side of things where there's men complaining that women aren't like how they used to be. And how feminism has impacted that. And, you know, there's like literally like a term for it, like, oh, it's just angry feminist, like just an angry feminist. And that's supposed to be an insult.
Yeah. Is there like a definition for a feminist and what you're referring to as an extreme feminist?
Feminists just want equality.
Yeah.
But I think it's the language that extreme feminists use. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to extreme feminism, you know, it's strong words like hate.
Yeah.
And disgusted. It's the words that you just don't really want to be using. I think there's a generalized term that obviously when women say, oh, I hate men, you know, a lot of people feel men feel personally attacked by that.
Yeah.
But it's the same as a guy being like, oh, I hate beer, but like they like one type of beer, but they don't like most of it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like you love a Corona, but like most of it is just a whole concept. I think it's more where women have to deal with so a lot of things over their whole lifespan. I think the generalization just comes from an external place rather than like, I'm not looking at you and saying, I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at Ish or Luke and going, I hate you too. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's the continuous sequence of seeing the news or seeing your friends, family.
Well, and your personal experiences as well.
And personal experiences. It's seeing every single woman get affected by something that a man has done. And it's not minor. And I think a lot of guys just don't really understand, especially when it comes to like, you know, a lot of people, I remember I put up a TikTok about sexual harassment a while ago, and some guy said, well, loads of guys. I'm going to say it's some guy as if it's just like one person, but it was a big group of people. And they're like, well, sexual harassment these days is just staring at people. And I was like, well, how would you feel if bloody Bruce Willis sat on this sofa and stared at you intently to the point where you were like, what is he staring at? Is he going to beat me up? Has he got a problem with me?
Well, you had this actually very recently, didn't you, on the tube? You messaged me because you were like, I just felt extremely uncomfortable. What happened, didn't it?
And it doesn't matter if you're attractive or not.
Wasn't Bruce Willis.
That's another thing that guys don't really get is that when it comes to staring sexual harassment, you know the look that people are giving you. It's not because people are trying to get your attention. Like sometimes it's because they're trying to get your attention, but they won't say anything to you. Mm-hmm. It's just a stare. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. If Bruce Willis was sitting here, or The Rock was on the opposite of in the tube to you, and you're there looking at you like they're angry at you because you can sense that, because angry, you're going to feel uncomfortable because you're going to be like, well, what is this? If I get off the tube, what's he going to do to me?
Yeah.
But then women deal with that every single day.
100%.
Like, not saying me personally, I don't get it every single day because sometimes I don't leave the house, but you know, it's the combined anger for majority of women and hearing combined stories of every single person. I don't know one woman that hasn't been affected by anything that has been done or by a perpetrator who's a man.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going to go on to the subject of how it potentially affects race relationships, but I think we had the conversation. You don't class yourself as a feminist, do you? You have feminist views, but you don't class yourself as a feminist.
I do class myself as a feminist. Yeah. But I can also see the other side.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, I acknowledge men's issues. However, that's what feminism is. It's just equality.
And forgive me if I'm wrong. Extreme feminism or hate feminism is the word you used. Is there I think we mentioned on maybe our first season of the podcast.
I think it's a generic hate. It's not, these people aren't actually aggressive. Like, it's just that they're so angry this is what like a lot of men are calling them. Are like,
what I was gonna,
angry feminists.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you, because I know a lot of the feminist community doesn't support it, but are their views now being thrown around where it's no longer about equality, but actually pushing women above men? Are their views?
Do you know where that's come from?
No.
Men.
Right.
Like the whole point of it, it's come from from men that are saying, oh yeah, this is what women want. But there is not one feminist out there that turns around and goes, like, obviously it can be a passing comment. Oh, I wish that women, like, that men could see what I can see.
Yeah.
I wish that men could experience the things that I have, which in turn would be equality. But then obviously for some people who get personally attacked by the ideal of a woman being at the same status of a man, that's what it turns into. It's like, oh, they just want to be above us. They want to be better than us. It's just like, no, like, that's not the case. No one wants to be above or better than you. Let's take the example of, you know, it's like a lot of people will go, oh, like the pay gap doesn't exist anymore. First-hand experience.
I was going to bring this up because, I said it's a really interesting story, this one, yeah.
I worked in a company where I worked as a sales team, male-dominated environment. Was extremely good at my job. There was a lot of other women in the company that were extremely good at their job. And they always told us not to talk about pay. And I'd be like, why? Like, hello, do we all not get paid the same thing? So we're all talking about pay. And what I realized is that all of the women in the company were getting paid $5,000 less than all of the men who did the exact same job. So I went to the CEO of the company and I was like, what is going on? You have a female COO and I assume that she's not getting paid much less than you, considering that she also does the same job as you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on here? Apparently he had no idea this was going on because the pay and stuff was all left in the hands of the sales executives at the top and HR. So that was their problem. And then, they ended up changing it. They gave majority of women a pay rise who were in the sales department. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think in other departments it was slightly different, but they ended up giving all the women a pay rise. And then they started this whole thing of like women in sales and how difficult it is. And it's just like, I don't need that. I just need to be paid the same way that everyone else has. Like, don't give me special treatment just because I've got some flats.
Interesting,
like,
to see that they were happy with how it was all set up.
And it was literally done within a week as well.
I bet it was just viewed as like a HR nightmare, wasn't it?
Yeah, they literally shit themselves.
Yeah.
And like, but that's the thing though, is that like, it is still an issue. And it's, I think what people don't realize is that it's, they'll look at westernized countries and be like, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize is that when women are talking about it, they're talking about non-westernized countries. They're talking about women who are still, you know, you've got like FGM, female genital mutilation, stop women from having sex.
Yeah.
You know, that's still going on every single day. Which
is mad in 2023.
Yeah. It's still women getting taken out of school at 13 to go and have children. Like, that's all still happening. And I think it's kind of the disregard for other women that men really aren't understanding why we care so much.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's just the other side of it as well, just what you have to deal with within, as you said, day-to-day life. What was that film we watched yesterday that you showed me?
Promising Young Women.
Promising Young Women. That was a real, I mean, obviously I knew like that sort of stuff goes on, but it was a real eye opener in terms of the female point of view, in terms of how you get treated by men on a day-to-day basis. And then it was Little Women as well.
We watched Little Women. We've been watching a lot of like feminist movies at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like an understanding. Obviously Little Women was written by Jane Austen. She was, I'm positive she was a feminist, majority
comes
of her
comes across that way.
And it was produced by Greta Thurwig, who also did Barbie, and it just explained the idea of marriage.
Yeah.
And this is where we're kind of going on to how it's affected relationships. So back in sort of post-Victorian time, Civil War era, women were unable to vote, unable to have a bank account, unable to do physically anything without their husband. And even if they did have a job, their money was owned by their husband. If they had kids, they were the husband's kids. You know, their last name was taken away from them because they were seen as property.
Yeah.
The word wife comes from some other language, but it basically means of man, like owned by a man. And that's basically what it was, is that you were owned. So then that's obviously carried on. It went on to like the 70s, 80s, 90s. The nuclear family was involved. Mm-hmm. We had the the baby boom happened. So obviously that enforced sort of like getting married and the idea of love and relationships. And you saw a lot of films being produced over the time of like love stories and yeah. and things like that. But most of the time, marriage wouldn't be a you're in love. It was a transactional thing.
Yeah, which is what they said in the film, wasn't it? It was just like, yeah, it's almost like a business deal on the woman's part, because they have to sign away this, sign away that. The man owns it all.
Exactly. Not only were women making like business decisions, it was you know, you had to do physically everything for the guy. So when people turn around now, guys, you know, that we've seen an influx of like the red pill community and stuff, yep. and people being like, bring back the sanctity of marriage. Like, none of those people were physically in love. It was very rare to actually be in love and find someone, because that's the way it was. So now we've gone forward almost 100 years, mm-hmm. and you still see some of those things, and they want to bring it all back to how it was. But then if you're going to take into consideration, we've had inflation.
Yeah.
The things like dating apps have come about. Casual dating. Obviously, because I know that like the 60s was obviously like the year of love, and it was very like non-monogamous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
However, you did have, that was only a group of people that were like activists for peace and love.
So are you saying I've seen the red pill stuff. Obviously, mm-hmm. we watch a lot of it, like not purposely, it just comes up everywhere. Yeah. But so are they saying like they want women just to be at home, not working, looking after kids? I mean, let's be honest, in this day and age, that can just not work.
Who's earning enough money to make their wife stay at home and look after a house, a child?
It's just society in general as well. Because like, I know so many men that are just so lazy, like none of them work and blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, well.
So I think I saw some guy say that obviously since women have had more rights, the divorce rate has got higher. But what you don't take into consideration in that fact is the fact that a woman is now financially
independent.
Yeah. So she can leave. A divorce is a very expensive thing. Yeah. So like, obviously, it's going to in turn create more divorce because people can afford to now. And most people can't. That's the thing.
It's just all about control again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds very incel to me.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing though. I think it's all done for shock factor.
Yeah.
Everything the red pill community does is all for shock factor. There's never any sort of like substance to what they say. It's all the same thing. It's, you know, men should be able to cheat on their wives. Women can't have Instagram. Women can't be hoes. Women, we want a girl who is really good at sucking but never had sex. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all stuff that people are going to talk about because it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, but then a lot of guys, you know, women will say something very simple as, please don't walk past me and touch my back. And then they're like, why? Why am I not allowed to do that? And it's just like, well, would you move past a man and move him out the way with your hands around your waist?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's like something that I've always, like, I don't know why, but I just started picking up on it one day. It's like men would walk past me and it would be the biggest open space ever, but they're trying to get to a coffee cup or something in the office. And they'd grab my waist and move me. And I'm like, are you doing that to Steve as well? Because I'm sure he probably wouldn't like it if you did. Mm. Like, why are you touching me? You know, and especially, I don't know, as I said, working in an office, you know, people would just come over and just touch me for no reason.
What was the mad one you said to me? You were on a sales call.
I was on a sales call.
And a guy came up behind you and just started playing with your boobs.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's like sexual harassment. That's like a prison.
It is, but like, it was like funny in that environment.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
You really do. You get brainwashed into this sort of thing. Like, you just think it's normal because everyone else does it.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
But yeah,
relationships then. So how do you mean affecting relationships? So obviously if the woman in the relationship has feminist views, is it breaking up relationships, do you mean?
Like, is it stopping people from actually dating because men are not liking feminism?
Yeah.
Or is it because women aren't liking men as much? Because obviously the child statistics, like of people giving birth, have gone down massively as well.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are opting out of relationships and marriage.
Yeah.
So obviously, I think first and foremost, it's too expensive. Like,
mm-hmm.
as we said in the marriage episode, it's too expensive to get married.
Is she ever going
to
do it?
And there's no point, because then you pay more money to get divorced. But people getting angry because women have a choice in things. It's crazy to me, because I'm like,
100%. Well, this is the thing. So I think, obviously, from my own personal experience, obviously, you know, being in a relationship with you, as you said, you know, you're a feminist and you have very strong views, which are come across, you know, rightly so on this podcast. I've actually had, I think, as Two Night Stands started in the first few episodes, started reeling out, I think, you know, I definitely had, you know, mates speaking to me, friends like from back home speaking to me and saying like, oh, do you actually agree with what Bella said there and things like that. But the thing is, like, I this is the other thing as well, actually. The whole Two Night Stand premise, initially the whole project was actually going to be Green Girl Bella's podcast. It was going to be the Green Girl Bella podcast, but we actually made the decision that I would step in because we realized
nobody would watch it if I was sitting there talking to just women. And the proof is in that, from episodes that I have just done with one female guest.
Yeah, the views are they're very different. And if engagement.
It's obviously that's down to the fact that I have a male dominated audience.
Yeah, 100%. And I think this is the thing, and like, so my friends, my mates, and obviously comments that we get all the time as well, I think people expect me to be coming from like they almost expect me to be like an opposing force towards you, but that's not my role in this podcast at all. Because, and what I'm trying to get to here is, I can't see why a feminist view would affect a relationship, because I know it doesn't affect ours, because I understand it, because you've told me what's happened to you in the past. You've told me about your experiences. I've witnessed it firsthand, just us being out in public together. Obviously, I've heard about all the pay gap stuff that you've had. So I've understood, like, even though I'm a man and I didn't initially, all I have to do is sit down and speak to my partner and understand the struggles you've had. So I get it. And
The problems, though, is that when you speak to men about stuff like this, a lot of circumstances, you have to remind them of their sister or their mum or their girlfriend or their daughter. And you have to bring that up. Otherwise, they don't get it. You know, it's like, so when I was younger, I was sexually assaulted by someone. And when I told the police, they said to me that would you rather not just leave it, because it might be a bit too much for you, and he was one of your friends. Like, do you just want to leave it, because it will cost you a lot of money as well. And I was 18, and I was like 17, and I was just like, fine. But then even when I told, I've told you this before, but like, even when I told my first boyfriend, he was like, oh, not my first boyfriend, but one of my boyfriends, he was like, well, you cheated on me.
Just tell me about this. It's crazy.
And I was like, no, I didn't. And then, you know, people just don't really believe you in situations like that. I think I've spoken about my sexual assault before on another platform in relation to something else.
Yeah.
And all I've got is like, but are you lying about it though? Like, why would you not go to the police? Well, because when I do, they tell me to leave it.
Yeah.
Like, because they don't want me to ruin a man's life, because they don't want, because they were like, well, you were such good friends. Or like, what were you wearing? Were you drunk? Like, well,
that
did
was
you,
the message from that film, wasn't it? It was just like, you implied
but this
it.
This is the whole point, is that you genuinely do get those situations where it's like, you put yourself in that situation, so you've got to deal with it. But it's just like, why are you not sitting there telling the guy to not do that? Yeah. Like,
wasn't there that documentary on Netflix as well where police were deliberately getting rid of evidence just to avoid the whole talking point of it? Mm-hmm. I mean,
but she's telling you what, right? False allegations, they can ruin people's lives. And true, because people will sit there and talk about it.
I've witnessed one of my brother's best friends, he went through this. Mm-hmm. And it was the girl in question, she did come out in court and admitted, well, before he got to court, actually got all the way to court, but she did admit that it was a false allegation.
Yeah. But should I tell you how many there are in Europe?
Yeah.
False allegations that actually turn out to be true.
Yeah.
Like a true false allegation. In the whole of Europe, 0.2%
right.
end up being false allegations. And that's off the basis that they don't have enough evidence to provide to say that it wasn't a false allegation. So that's including the people who it might have happened, but they don't have enough substantial evidence to make that happen.
Mm.
I think what most majority of men don't think about in situations where they're like, well, it's not all men, I would never do that. But it's just like, but then you're standing there watching your friends slap some girl's ass, like try and take home, you know, anyone playing games, like take home the ugly girl, like shit like that. You're contributing to the problem.
Mm.
Like you're not stopping someone and going, can you just not? Like that's not, can you not see she's uncomfortable? Can you leave her alone? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's making it worse. It's like, yeah, fair enough. You can live in your own bubble and that's fine. And you don't have to get aggressive and you don't have to make it all about you, but you can just stand there and go, just leave it. It's like, you know, it's the same as if I'm in a club and some girl's, you know, dancing all up on this man and she's like, you know, really drunk and she's like, I'm going to go home with him. I'm the first person to go, hello, like, stop. You're like, you're too drunk. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, so... which is, again, that's drilled into me to not put yourself in that situation. Yeah. And then some women obviously end up doing it.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, and then something bad will happen. And then they'll be like, it's all my fault. Well, technically, it's not your fault.
No.
But
this is the whole argument, isn't it? As well, you put yourself in that situation. You were drunk, so it's your fault.
Obviously, it's just that like, it's not your fault. But obviously now, like I'll go out and I'm just constantly trying to prevent things happening.
Yeah.
You know, I was at Parklife once. Yeah. And I went... and I was standing in the crowd and somebody put their hand up my skirt and grabbed, like literally grabbed my vagina, like fully. And then I turned around and kicked him to the floor because I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. And because it was so close packed in like, as the set was going on.
You can't even get away from it.
Yeah. So all I had to do was grab his arm and be like, what are you doing? Like, hello. And the thing is that most girls will just go, just either cry or they'll just be like, oh, it's fine. It's like, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a joke.
Well, in many cases I've heard like, it's just like you freeze and like fear. Like, it's like, if I, as long as I don't move or do anything, I'm not going to anger.
But this is, but that's exactly it. It's like, so this is where it impacts relationships.
Okay.
So as a general thing, women will then end up fearing men.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly what Teddy said when we had the trans Teddy come on.
Mm-hmm.
I hate referring to him as that because he's more than just trans, but, you know, saying that when he transitioned, he ended up feeling uncomfortable because he thought that there was someone following them.
He became the predator. Yeah,
exactly. That was and that's the thing is like, I think what most people aren't really understanding is that when there's a general consensus that we are constantly getting told to be afraid of certain situations, you end up getting afraid of everything. You know, you get scared of like certain situations and people, and you can like, because it's always the people who you think are the nicest who aren't
the nice guy.
Yeah.
The self-proclaimed nice guy.
Yeah, there's always something better than just being nice. Yeah. But I think you can tell, I think, and this is why, again, like people like the red pill community, for example, want to go for like young women, because we recently learned that your brain develops at 25, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
And obviously when you've got so much life experience, obviously it's not enough, but you find that more women in their 30s and 40s end up being feminists after that point because they suddenly understand that certain things. But yeah, once you reach 25, you just start realizing that there's just certain situations that like are scary.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. How do you think the, because obviously the feminist movement has obviously been around for as long as I can actually remember now these days. Is it progressing? Is it working? Is it, you know, I mean, I don't want to be the guy with the microphone who sits here and says everything seems equal now, because I know that's never the case, but what's
your
view?
Well, as I said, think about third world countries, no.
No. Yeah.
The abortion laws in the US have gone back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mad.
Which I just think that's so ridiculous.
And then in the weird multiverse of things, we've got people like Pearl out there in the world now that are saying that women
should... Oh, she just does it for attention.
Yeah.
She does it for attention. The whole point is that she gets paid off of saying ridiculous things. So, you know, that's fair enough. There's nothing educational about our podcast. It's just literally to rub on men's dicks. Like,
yeah.
that's the point of it, because there are some delusional people out there.
But so. Like, it's really not helpful though when you're putting out, because she's got a huge audience and you've got a clip that's got multi-millions of views saying women shouldn't be allowed to vote anymore. Like that. Yeah.
And then
so
you've got
backwards.
Actual feminists being like, here is hard evidence and facts of why you should listen to this. And people are like, nah. Like, that's the thing, is that everything that Red Pill community says is all based off of half a statistic. That's literally all it is. It'll be like, they'll throw out statistics to confuse you, and then but then it's enough to fit your own agenda. So yeah. If you are hateful, or if you don't like certain situations or something like that, that statistic will fill whatever you want it to.
All these statements though, I just had a thought that came into my head. Because you said that it seemed like there has been a lot of progress, like, in
but it's
at least
one step forward, two
steps
back. That's the problem.
Is it? Like, again, this just popped into my head. Do you think, like, just obviously where the world is evolving, marketing is evolving, just like, obviously everyone lives online now, social media. Like, are we now stepping backwards because people benefit from bringing these views into the world, even if they don't believe in them? Because it gets you views, it gets you out there, it gets you clout. And then people jump on the bandwagon with it. Like, are we causing us to all step backwards just for the sake of views? Like,
yeah, 100%. I mean, think about things that I have to do as an OnlyFans creator.
Yeah, because as you said, like
the general thing is being an OnlyFans creator, and I love making the content that I do.
Yeah.
But everything that I have to do has to involve sex, because I'm supposed to be a sex girl. Like, yeah, that's what my whole initial, I mean, I will always be known as an OnlyFans creator. I will never, ever come away from that. I could be anything that I wanted to. I could go and be an astronaut and people would still go, yeah, but you're that girl that did OnlyFans, you know? Yeah. I could go and literally give money to the homeless and be like, OnlyFans girl gives money to the homeless.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I can never come away from that title now, and I'm not complaining because it's the one thing that's given me a platform. However, the chances of people listening to me are completely discredited now. So it is difficult as a creator, especially a female creator.
I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, you know, for everyone listening, because as you said, like, obviously we're taking a break from Two Night Stand now, and it doesn't take away from the fact that obviously you're a very, you know, sexually invigorated person. But as you said, like, all the content you have to make has to be a certain way because that's the way people are expected to be. But actually, you said, I actually need a little bit of a break from Two Night Stand because everything I'm doing, like, even with Two Night Stand, I have to talk about sex, I have to talk about relationships. And do you know what? As you said, it's given you a platform now where you've got awesome projects. Obviously, the OnlyFans is even towards that to a certain way, but you've obviously...
It's all about OnlyFans.
You
want
to replace the time it's taking me to not stand and actually start going and doing content that you enjoy, which I think is going to be really exciting for people to see.
I think I just need to refresh my brain. I think I've learned so much over the years about sex and relationships. I've done a lot of research into things, made it literally my whole personality in life, and I would much rather be doing the sexual stuff I'd much rather be doing it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think, as you said, it's like it's coming back, like, as long as you're enjoying it, as you said, like, because if, like, with tonight,
I enjoy doing this. Yeah, I enjoy the podcast, however, obviously it is at the end of the day a woman speaking into a microphone, and it doesn't do as well as the rest of my content.
No. It was always a long-term project for us, wasn't it?
It was always going to be a long-term project. I think as soon as a woman decides to step out of the realm of doing OnlyFans, it's like begging for a new audience.
Yeah.
It's like starting an account at zero, regardless of whether you've got hundreds of thousands of followers or none, you're in the same place.
Well, as you said, most of your following on TikTok and, you know, Instagram and stuff, they're a follower for a reason. And, you know, regrettably, obviously you've done a lot to change that. And obviously people know your personality, one from this podcast, but obviously all the amazing stuff you're doing on YouTube as well. But yeah, I can't remember where I was going with that.
But yeah, the main thing is that I always have to have an underlying sexuality about me.
Yeah.
I can never just be... Can never just be me.
No.
Like, well, I can. Obviously, I can. Obviously, the sexual side of things is a huge aspect to my personality. You know, I'm very...
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. As you said, like, because as you said, Two Night Stand, for example, we did start from zero because obviously the followers that we were advertising to on TikTok that watch you dance, as you said, unfortunately, so a lot of them weren't really interested in... what you had to say, which is really sad.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. I think it's one thing to be successful on OnlyFans, and then it's one thing to be successful as a creator.
Yeah.
And then when you mix the two together, it becomes more difficult because people, like, one thing, like, you know, when, especially when I went on that Red Pill podcast, they were laughing, saying that being a content creator was easy. Mm. And I was just like, I don't know whether it's because I do both or if it's because I am just dramatic or anything like that. Because I get told all the time my job is easy.
Yeah, no, not at all. I put it down to saying both, wasn't it? I think it's the fact that you do both and you're almost living.
But I don't think that discredits how much work people put into their OnlyFans. You know, remember last week we had Jenny on, who's losing accounts every single week.
Well, this is where you're getting so many respect from, you know, creators in the OnlyFans industry, because obviously I know firsthand it's a full-time job. You have to be an accountant.
I want people to be acknowledged for the fact that they put so much work into their stuff, and some people get very little return for it. I could sit there and just go, women don't deserve to vote, marriage is a sacrament, we all need to stop having sex because sex does XYZ, insert fake fucking statistic here.
Yeah,
I could sit there and do that. That will get me thousands of views and I will get paid for it, but it doesn't make me genuine. It makes me an asshole.
Yeah,
it makes me someone that I don't want to be. So why would I ever think about changing myself just for my content? And I won't.
It won't last so long as well. As you said, you can only put a fake face on for a little while and then you'll become...
Oh, yeah. Like, Pearl literally looks constipated every time she speaks now. Like, who else is there? Like, any of those guys, like, they're clearly... Like, the guys who do it, like, I mean, people like Sneeko and I would just love to be on a fly on the wall for... anyone in the Fresh and Fit cast.
Yeah.
Love to see them just go home and try and make a microwave meal, you know, just on their own. I would love it. Like, it's just such an interesting concept to me. But yeah, there are obviously people out there who, like, physically, I've witnessed it firsthand. I had, when I went on that Red Pill podcast, somebody literally told me to shush in the middle of speaking.
Yeah.
And ignored me. Like, not when I was on camera, was off camera. And I was like, you are closer to death than I am. No, you are an old man. Shut the fuck up.
Death wish, mate. If I ever said shush to you, Jesus Christ.
Like, I think it's just so silly. I remember I had this one guy talking about feminists. This is before I even did anything online. I had this guy tell me that women as a whole didn't want feminism to happen. And I was like, when were you born? He's like in his 30s. And I was like, so you were alive and you spoke to every single woman back then, did you? Because clearly it was enough people. Obviously the fear of losing everything and not having any money and dying was quite a big thing. So I would assume that, probably a lot of women said they didn't want to change because change is scary.
I just realized that was the message behind that film of Harry Styles, isn't it? What's it called? The one you showed me the other day when he takes them into the well.
Like, oh, fuck.
I don't remember what it's called.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
What's that film?
We'll insert the name here, but that's the film. And I just, because I realized that was the message, wasn't it? Because they put them into that VR thing and it was like, we're doing this for you, like, to their wives, saying like, you can just live a simple life at home. Like, we're going to go to work and you can just enjoy your life here. This is what you want. And it's like, no, it's not. Like, what the f*** are you doing to me, sort of thing?
That's literally like not what I asked for. But oh my God, it's crazy. I think that the world is so crazy. And the things I hear, the things I read and stuff like that is so scary. It's like, honestly, like, there's always something going on.
Question. So actually, I think I saw this, someone talk about this the other day, actually. So OnlyFans, obviously, is probably one of the biggest things to potentially empower the feminist movement in the past couple of years.
The feminists hate OnlyFans girls.
But why,
some
though?
Some feminists really hate us because they're like, oh, you say that it's... Because they don't like as a general. And then for me, I'm like, however, if you're talking about generic back in like the 70s. So think about Lovelace, the film that we watched with Linda Lovelace, the first woman who could deep throat. Yes. The one who got abused by her husband.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that film, it's amazing, by the way. It's called Lovelace, but there's a lot of abuse in it. But basically back then, obviously men still kind of owned women and they would put them into scenes and things like that. They'd usually be pressured into the industry.
I mean, that I understand.
And that's where the rights are taken away. Even up to the fact of, you know, someone just coming into my DMs and going, if you want to do a studio shoot, and we'll give you £300.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like, why would I want to do that?
I'm not sure I get that.
Yeah.
I get why that would be a negative.
They don't like OnlyFans because it's contributing to the problem. However, it means that they don't understand how OnlyFans works. No. So with OnlyFans, it's one of those things where it is all amateur. You're not allowed to do anything that could ever damage you or anyone around you.
It's all
on the basis of consent.
You're in control.
Yeah, you're fully in control of your own page. If someone comes to your page and goes, can you do this? And you go, no, that's the end of that conversation. There is a block and restrict button. Mm. No one can ever disrespect you. And I think obviously they also worry about obviously new creators or people who are desperate for money.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that you should be able to say no. So if you are a smaller creator and you are put in a predicament of being like, oh, somebody's offered me this much money, never ever do it.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've stuck with for the whole 2.5 years that I've done this, regardless of whether I made £5 or however much I make now, I will never ever do anything I don't want to do. And there's a lot that I will do and there's not much that I won't do, but I will always stick to what I won't do because that is exactly why. But with people hating porn, I understand it.
What are your thoughts on, guys, this is going to be massively glass houses because this is what I used to do. But with OnlyFans, obviously, it's obviously, I know male creators do very well on OnlyFans, but obviously the vast majority, it is female dominated.
It's because loads of people start and then realize it's not easy. And then they're like, oh.
What I was going to ask is obviously, again, glass houses, because I used to do, but what are your thoughts on the fact, because obviously so many females, obviously the majority of the money is going to females within OnlyFans. What are your thoughts on the fact that obviously there's so many OnlyFans management companies coming in, obviously that are male dominated and owned by men, and they're coming in and take percentage of, is that like, what are your thoughts on that?
It's kind of just taking back, they've seen an industry where they can't stop the supply. So they're like, well, if we can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we know better than anyone else because we are men. Mm. And it's like, no, you don't, because you don't know how men look at us. You know, they all give you the same thing, just different font. I think if you're an OnlyFans model, you're absolutely delusional unless you know the person and they are just helping you.
Yeah.
You know, I would never be sitting there. You know, I had you and your business partner, but I trusted you guys.
Yeah.
I trusted you with my whole life.
Well, we were friends.
And
for years
you only helped me with bits that I needed help with. That's the problem, is that obviously some of these managements are like, we're going to take over your messages and we're going to make you so much money. And like, you have no idea what's going on your OnlyFans account. And it's like, why would you want that? Like with you and your business partner, we spoke about content, YouTube, things that I wanted to achieve, but had no idea how to do that because at the time I was not a proper content, I was a proper content creator, but I only knew my field of content where I wanted to expand. And I think it's always good to have the people there, but I think OnlyFans management is a load of shit and stops taking advantage. And as soon as you log into an OnlyFans account, once you get that contract started, you realize that OnlyFans models lie about their income.
And the fact that I'm hearing that 60% management fees are being thrown about now.
Yeah.
No.
60%. 60% of your money is being taken, but like, how can you take 60% of nothing?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
You know, oh my God, it's crazy. And then I think jumping, and this is what's also ruined the industry as well. You know, I can't even tell you how many times I've had people subscribe to me and talk to me like shit because they think it's not me and it's a random management company.
Mm.
And the amount of times that I've had to send voice notes, videos being like, you do realize you're talking to me.
Yeah.
I'm on the other end of this conversation and you're hurting my feelings.
I can vouch for it. I don't know if you remember what I said earlier in this podcast, but this is the only time we get to speak because of the time she's on the phone.
Yeah. But literally, like, I think it has ruined it. But yeah, back to feminism and pornography, you know, they say that it's just one of those things that like they say it's damaging because obviously it does perpetrate the idea that we're causing problems, because obviously a lot of has got worse over the years and being very detrimental and doesn't show women's pleasure. But then on the other side of things, you've got the red pill community saying they also don't like, even though I can guarantee you that half of them watch it, but they also say they don't like it because it's ruining the family unit. So who does like it? Because there's a lot of people who seem to be watching it.
Multi-billion you know, Pornhub's
one of the biggest companies in the world, but nobody's watching it.
Someone's paying.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants it, but who's watching it?
Yeah.
Sexuality is a very, very normal human thing. Once you reach puberty, you start getting
Yeah.
It's a very normal, natural thing to happen.
Yeah.
I understand the two sides of it. It potentially can ruin marriages for the fact that people are choosing over their partner. However, that's just where communication comes in.
Yeah, or we said like they're extreming their time in the bedroom to things they don't enjoy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's like they're doing unrealistic things.
Yeah.
And then the other side of things is, as I said, porn addiction is ruining families. And then you've got porn addiction ruining sex for people because they don't know how to actually make people finish or don't know how to what actually feels good and what doesn't, because nobody's allowed to explore their own body because apparently masturbation is wrong too. So like, you know, the amount of people that go into situations where they're gonna have sex with someone and actually have not a f-ing Scooby how to do it because they've spent too much time f-ing off to or spent too much time worrying about looking like that they don't know what they're doing, and then they like, and then things happen, you know. People don't know what the f- they're doing anymore and how to enjoy themselves, and you know, the world is just a big fat party pooper at the moment. Like, just let people enjoy what they enjoy, as long as you don't like, as long as it's not like serial killer.
Yeah, don't kill people.
You serial killers, you stay at home, okay? You watch the, because that's my argument, that's one of my arguments, is the fact that, you know, if somebody is into consensual, non-consensual, for example, I have a feeling like, wow, yeah, facts are feelings, same diff. I'm a red pill. It stops people from going out and actually doing it.
Yeah, but see, I had the counter argument, didn't I? I said, like, isn't it just itching a scratch that's going to get bigger?
No, because obviously, like, say, for example, CNC doesn't come from watching it. It comes from it happening.
Yeah, yeah, there
I don't know about men completely.
No.
I think it's usually the men that want control, isn't it? Like, mummy issues and stuff.
I haven't spoken to any rapists recently. I don't know.
Well, you don't know if they're into consensual or non-consensual, because they won't tell you that.
No.
Like, no one's going to go, you're not going to go down the pub and then you're like, you're right, mate, what did you watch last night? And they're like, well, I have the biggest kink ever. What about you?
I mean, if someone said that to me down the pub, I'd probably call 999.
Exactly. But then it's stopping them from going to the pub and a woman, because that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
So they can just go home and watch it.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But then also there's, you know, I've seen like,
well, it also, as I said, it makes things a lot more convenient for people with fetishes, like the quicksand one. Like, thank God there's one, because you can't keep going to the rainforest.
In it, imagine
the Sahara Desert with a quicksand.
Honey, why have you built up credit card debt of 27 grand?
Yeah.
And why are you going to the Sahara Desert so often?
Yeah, no, they can just go home and, well, to be fair, they can probably.
But that's another thing with OnlyFans. I also feel like it does really help it, because, you know, if someone does have a porn addiction, for example, it's financial, which in that case, I know obviously it's a very detrimental thing to some people. Addiction is a very awful thing. However, you're more likely to spot a sign when someone is spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
So us on the other end of things, we don't know whether someone has a porn addiction or not. You know, there's some people who just get really and want to buy loads of videos, and that's just the way they are, but they don't have an addiction, but you don't know. So, but this is the thing, is that even though it's a very out of the box argument, still that means that their family, friends, someone can see you're spending a lot of money on this, you need help. Do you know what I mean? Rather than, you can watch unlimited videos and no one will ever find out. No one's going to really be checking your history.
No.
To be like, oh, you've got a problem, mate. Like, do you know what I mean?
It doesn't come up as OnlyFans either.
Huh?
It doesn't come up as OnlyFans.
It comes up as Phoenix. It does come up as OnlyFans.
Oh, it does
now. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's interesting they went with that move.
Well, that's the thing though. People say it ruins like mortgages and stuff, but it really doesn't.
Like, same as gambling though, isn't it?
It's not gambling.
No,
like,
no,
if you go to, because I had the same thing, because obviously I buy OnlyFans, or I did. I don't need to watch. I have a gentleman and I make my own.
Yeah, but, I know what's.
But I obviously thought, well, in the grand scheme of things, if I'm not buying people's OnlyFans, why are people going to buy mine? So I subscribed to people, and when I spoke to a mortgage advisor, they said to me that it doesn't matter if you're, as long as you're not doing it to an excess. So if you're regularly spending £2,000-3,000 on OnlyFans every single month for a year, they're going to go, well, you're unreliable because you're spending that much. It's like if you go into Betfred 2-3 times a year and spend 27 grand every time you go in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we've come so far away from like the original conversation, but I guess it's all part of it, isn't it?
What a way. Well, there's no other way to end the season. That's what we do.
I know.
That's what we do best.
Move away. Think about things. But yeah, we will be back.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take some time, you know, learn some more stuff. Might do a course.
I need to take several courses. Because like I don't, as people know, I know nothing about this sort of stuff, but I learn with you guys.
That's why I need you here, because otherwise the male audience won't watch it, because I need a man to control me. So
yeah,
I'll click through rates like 10 seconds and then people are off.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I'm only joking. But yeah, I hope everyone stays happy, healthy.
Having fun, staying safe, and always getting the consenting.
Yeah, having fun, staying safe, and always getting consent. If there's anything that you want us to talk about, or any guests that you want us to have on for the third season, I'd love to know. You can also send your stories in to our email.
And it's not like the socials going anywhere. We're still going to be there. We're still going to be live on them. Yeah, send us messages. Like, so we'll do little bits of content here. Then, you know, we'll get some stories out there. We'll get some TikToks out there of just us two and stuff.
Yeah,
we'll still see us around, but
yeah. It's just going to be a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to hear some relationship stories to kick back into season three. Because I feel like so many of you come with relationship stories or you need advice, and I am here.
And we haven't actually done it for a while. So season one was a lot of relationship advice. And then obviously we went into the LGBTQ series. And then obviously this one's been actually, we have some really like quite deep topics this season, haven't we? Like, I think we'll probably look forward to...
I've just become a serious girl.
Serious gal.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll probably come back with like, yeah, let's get back to like helping people their relationships and sex and
shit. Well, anyway, we'll catch you later, guys. Remember to have fun.
Stay safe.
And always get consent. Bye.
Oh yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two night stand, baby.